Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On with us, Andrew Scully from Camber, Australia. And we're starting to get quite an audience over there. I think we got about 10% of our engagement from Australia. So we're glad to get some representation, some people that talk to their community over there who is obviously engaging in cybersecurity. So Andrew, how are you doing? Thanks for joining today.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me all night.
Yeah, it's good that we don't have much of a delay. Some good international communications here today.
Well, Australia's not known for its internet, so I'm glad we found a good link there somewhere.
Yeah, something's going on. So you're early morning over there, right?
Yeah, not too early, about 10 past 7. So I've got three kids, so I'm usually up at this stage anyway. Diving into the day.
So we're going to have some of them screaming through a little bit later?
Hopefully, mate. We have some random cameo appearances of little people on my left and right. So, but no, hopefully we'll avoid that. But yeah.
Maybe a little kangaroo out the window there or something.
Yeah, koala in the tree at the back there. So,
yeah. So do you see that wildlife often? Or are you kind of? You said you're in the kind of the government central area, right?
Yeah. So in Canberra here, it's a bit of a rural city. So you don't have to go too far from where I'm living to see a lot of kangaroos, like a lot.
Gotcha.
So it's actually a bit of a problem as opposed to, but they're beautiful animals, but yeah.
Yeah. And you get koalas in your trees or is that?
Not directly at the back here, but yeah, if you don't have to venture too far. So there's a decent amount of wildlife within a short drive from Canberra. So it's a beautiful spot.
It is one. I haven't been in Australia or Antarctica. So that's my two left to fill.
There we go.
We'll see if we can capture that here at some time in my life. I don't know about Antarctica, though. I really don't have a reason to be there.
It's probably one of those things. Sounds cool, but yeah.
Yeah, or really a desire. We'll put it that way, too.
Yeah.
So tell us about your background. How did you get to where you're at? And what's your progression? You're head of cybersecurity at Sheld.
Correct.
And previously a senior director at Symantec. Australian Air Force background. Tell us about that and how you got to where you're at.
Yeah, I've been really lucky in my career over the last 15 years. I started off as a kind of a technical expert in the Australian Air Force, and there's a whole bunch of career progressions to go along with that. One of those was the option to dive into information warfare or the cyber field, which I applied and I was successful in that, which was great. And that kind of started me on my journey into cyber. So diving into the engineering piece, the analyst piece, and incident response, threat intelligence, all the bits and pieces that go along with a cybersecurity operations program. I was lucky to do a number of military exercises in Australia and the US and things like that. Really lucky to get my start there. Eventually kind of came to end my military career and decided to jump out and of all things dived into a security vendor. So I actually joined Blue Coat Systems at the time and then moved over to the US and started running their cybersecurity program in the US, so based out of San Jose. Eventually we were acquired by Symantec and then eventually, kind of moved into the role of running Intel security operations at Symantec there for a while, which was fantastic. Lots of great learning expert areas there. So owning the red team, the security ops centers, threat intelligence, detection engineering, a whole bunch of elements which really kind of helped shape how I saw security programs coming together and where I found them to be useful and effective in delivering outcomes for the business there. And last couple of steps, I came home to Australia when we decided it was the right time to come home. We had a third baby on the way and it was time to come home and took over the reins as CISO for Telstra Defence, so for a large military network here in Australia, in Canberra, and then finally moving into the role of head of consulting for cybersecurity here at Sheld. So lots of different jumps, but lots of different experiences through lots of different disciplines, which honestly, that diversity of background is really something I've enjoyed in my career. I haven't been stovepiped or pigeonholed to one thing. And yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Interesting. So we are going to take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back to get into more of what Andrew thinks is the highlights of his career and the areas that need addressed in cybersecurity. Be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, coming to us from Canberra, Australia, Andrew Scully, and glad to have you on as we are definitely getting some traction in Australia. First of all, we'll get into what areas in cyber you think are the hottest, where people need to focus, what your recommendations are. But tell us what you saw in the difference between the climate for cybersecurity in Australia versus the U.S. What do you see as the primary differentiators, things that are different, things that are the same, things are the most pain points, things that are maybe a pain point in one area, but you don't even see in the other? Those kind of contrasts, what do you see?
I'll start with the similarities. It's the close-knit community that we find is within the practitioners, the people diving into this industry, still incredibly eager to dive in, very inquisitive, always trying to dive in and solve some of these problems that we see across the board. But the skills shortage, we talk about the skills shortage a lot. We hear both sides. So in the US and also back here in Australia, we hear about there's a distinct lack of skill sets. So that's something that's pervasive across both industries. And I think that's something that we'll see kind of flesh itself out in the next 5 to 10 years as people kind of graduate through the next cohorts of people coming through. So that's definitely been a similarity I've seen. Guess one other similarity, and I think it's pervasive once again across not just Australia and New Zealand and Asia and then North America, is everyone has more tool sets than they can than they know what to do with, and more importantly, they have more data than they know what to do with. So actually finding a clean way of actually understanding the data and getting useful outcomes and meaningful outcomes out of those is something that's still a challenge across both geos or a number of geos, and certainly across all industries, verticals, those types of things. So there's definitely some similarities there. Probably the one contrast I suggest is just the pure size and scale. Here in Australia, we're a tiny little country as it stands. 24 million people in an island in the middle of Australia, in the middle of the ocean. So just the size and scale of the industry, and so the people we have to kind of go through and pick from in terms of hiring, things like that, is a lot smaller. So investing, the approach to hiring, the approach to how we invest in people is a little bit different. We're going more for, bringing up some of the more junior people in our industry and bring them in and starting to build and grow them, rather than looking for those unicorns that are out there in the industry with 10 to 15 years experience, and people that just generally don't exist. So hiring is definitely a differentiator.
People you have to steal from somebody else, right?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. But there's some fantastic, we've actually been doing a lot of successful hiring here at Sheld at the moment. Just looking for graduates and people that maybe even don't necessarily come from a cybersecurity background, like a network admin, data center admin, but just people that are motivated, inquisitive, have the ability to learn, that adaptability, that drive. That's kind of more what we're looking for these days. And so,
yeah
we can use the tech.
So as far as the focus of cybersecurity, do you see, in the US, it's mostly a corporate focus, where sometimes I talked to people from Europe and India last week, and it was all about, privacy and theft of people's pickpockets, like internet pickpockets in the individual mom and pop level almost, and that was their key focus. Where do you see, or is it more, focused toward the individual, the consumer, the big companies, the government? Where do you see it be the focus in that, in your neck of the woods?
Certainly in Australia at the moment, you still see the a couple of different key points. So you see the investment, the heavy investment in Australia is still through the banks and large industry. That's where most of the large employment centres are. It's where a lot of the money is being placed into, a lot of the investment. You do see a number of themes coming through in Australia around privacy. So there's a lot of discussion at the moment around facial recognition, some of the DNA databases and some of the other ways of identifying people. So those databases of PII, things of that nature. So starting to see those emerging themes coming through as they're coming through some of the political commentary. So that's definitely an emerging topic. But one area that I'm personally, have had exposure to is family, where the mums and dads have had, ransomware attacks. They've had identity stolen. For me in Australia, that's an area that definitely needs to be invested in more heavily. And certainly, you do see a difference between, say, the US and Australia, where the US has a lot more resources and availability of information to go through and help those people, whereas here in Australia, where we're kind of missing a lot of those resources here at the moment. So,
gotcha. So do you see aligning more with like the EU with privacy and they've done with GDPR, or more like the US with, the companies really are king and they have the data it supports and our business nature, our governmental nature supports them being successful. What do you see in that area?
Yeah. And I think we're still at a pivotal point where it could go either way in Australia at the moment. I can see conversations, and you can see different organizations, be it political or companies, kind of going in two different directions. So, so oftentimes they're opposing forces. The privacy, obviously wanting to keep information, at the hands of the people, and that's the EU way of looking at things, as opposed to, say, the corporate route, where you may see that in the US. So I'm seeing both sides. I don't think we've necessarily got a kind of a leader in that space as yet in Australia. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, interesting. And I think that is a key worldwide. We're going to see almost that alignment of sides and maybe the turning within each to balance it a little bit. I'm not sure, but definitely an interesting dynamic. Yeah,
absolutely.
So if we had to say, what is the area that, you've been in cybersecurity a while, you've had some unique interfaces with big U.S. companies, with the government other than the United States government. What do you feel is, the primary areas in cybersecurity that could be addressed or should be addressed or keep you up at night type of things?
Yeah. So there's one kind of concept as I took over running security programs, the operational programs. One thing that kind of came to my attention was, I coined it as cyber performance anxiety. How did I know that my organization was actually delivering actual security benefits? Could we actually prevent an attack? Could we actually respond effectively to attack? And all of those things kind of led to, are we actually delivering to the business or to the organization what they're asking from us? So when I first took over, I really asked myself that question. How would I actually know whether my program was actually delivering the outcomes that we needed? And the more I looked at the organizations and the programs I ran, and then also then had engagements with customers and with industry peers and others, the more I realized that this wasn't unique. There was a lot of this anxiety out there in the industry. And oftentimes that was evidenced by the fact that you'd have a look at a penetration test report and then compare and contrast it to the audit committee findings or the board of directors information you were delivering there. The difference between what was being delivered to board of directors versus what your pen tests were telling you was night and day different. The white space in between those two is often quite confronting. And so for me, it's like, how do we actually, first and foremost, understand what organizations want from their security programs? And one of the interesting lessons that I learned early on was interviewing a bunch of C-level executives at companies that I worked at. And I walked in and I sat down with the chief finance officer and said to Nick, said, what do you want security to do for you? And it was a fairly innocent kind of question, but it had a really profound response, which was, well, hang on, mate, isn't that what I employed you to do? And I thought that was an interesting response, and it was valid. And it kind of, I ticked that up as don't do that again. That was a lessons learned. Walk in there, but you have to help. I found over a number of these engagements where they almost tease out that information from the C-level of executives. And what I found also too is changing my question is not what cybersecurity should be doing for your business, but tell me more about what is impactful to your business. Tell me what's important to you. And we use a couple of conversation points called, or a discussion framework called rags, riches, and regulations, which I'll happily say I didn't make up. This is actually one that was taught to me or instilled to me from a colleague, Kevin Reardon, who's just been a fantastic leader to me, mentor in my life. But teasing out that information using those key points, rags, what can actually happen to your organization to send it under, have it go bankrupt, collapse, go under? Riches, what can you actually steal or take from your organization that somebody might want to sell? Intellectual property, PII, all those types of things, and regulations.
Let's take a break real quick. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll come back and talk about that rag section, and then we'll go on to the rest. Be right back.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, we've been talking with Andrew Scully from Canberra, Australia. And we're digging the accent here. I know you can get them all around. But we were talking about, and I thought it was a good approach to understanding the rags to riches, what can hurt you. And then I imagine we're going to go on to what can make you rich, you know, what benefits you. But you were talking about that downside, identifying those things that really are the Achilles heel of the organization. And we'll go on from there, kind of where you pick up where you left off.
Yeah, it was an interesting set of insights because this is obviously unique to each organization. So a good example would be for a hosting company, for example, like say something akin to your Amazons or your Azures, those types of things, a hosting provider. If you had a large scale outage of a platform, that's incredibly impactful to your business. So your ability to drive revenue and to actually deliver products and actually do what the company's meant to do, an outage, incredibly impactful. But then if you take that same kind of scenario and then you place that into the hands of, say, like a large engineering company, for example, they may not be so concerned about that. They might be more concerned about the loss of intellectual property to a competitor. So all of these scenarios whereby if they transpired would be incredibly impactful. They're different to each type of vertical, different and unique to each organization. So once again, this is kind of a revelation for me as a security practitioner. We need to actually almost tease that narrative, tease that detail out of the organizations, because sometimes they're not completely aware of exactly what they're trying to protect in their organization. Mm-hmm. And once you actually have that, then you can start to build threat models around those. So what are the sequence of events from a cybersecurity perspective that would result in one of those outages or one of those losses? And it was that linkage between the business outcome to the threat model, and then you can continue to extrapolate that into your penetration testing, is you can actually get a really good understanding of the maturity of an organization. So the people, the processes, the technologies, everything that goes into delivering real cybersecurity benefits, you can actually link it all the way through if you actually go and ask the right questions and deliver that back to your board of directors.
Mm-hmm. So now if you went to the other side, how did you frame that? What things make us grow, advance?
Yeah. So the rags, riches, and regulations. So the riches was actually, instead of what would make us successful, it's actually what could you steal from an organization or take from an organization that an attacker would go through and then on-sell to make money from you. So why would they come after you at all? So what could they take? It might be, you know, their plans to an innovative bit of technology that you've been developing. Mm-hmm. It could be stealing credit card information, just a typical, you know, kind of cyber crime type scenario. But all of these things represent something could be taken from you that somebody could sell and get rich. So rags, what could send you under, riches, what could be stolen. And then unfortunately there's regulations.
And that's what you can be fined with, right?
100%. The things you have to adhere to, whether it's SOX, whether it's GDPR, whether it's PCI, those types of things that in your industry, your line of business, you have to do them to have a seat at the table to play the game.
Interesting.
So all of those things combined is what I really start to tease out of. These are the goals. These are the things I need to deliver as part of my cybersecurity program. And then I aligned my development of my program around those, mm-hmm. which funnily enough, actually, well, unsurprisingly, it actually made my life a hell of a lot easier. I hear people regularly talk about people failing to gain support for their cybersecurity program. They're struggling to show the value. They're struggling to gain enough funding to go through and do what they need to do. They know what they need to do, but articulating it in such a way that the business actually emotionally understands, goes, oh, wow, I really don't want that to have happened. So when you put your findings and your deliverables to a board of directors in terms that they really, really care about, which you've already teased out of them, it's easier, far easier to actually gain support for that program when you hear something along the lines of, we're trying to prevent a large scale outage, which may result in a $5 billion market cap loss and damage to our brand reputation. If you think of Equifax as a scenario, mm-hmm. if you're delivering your cyber program in those terms, it's often more successful than talking about malware or data loss or some of the framework-based approaches, which don't have the context to the business. They say, that's great, but what does malware mean to me? So there's that extra step.
Yeah. So in these three things you went by, it sounded like, I was expecting there to be like an opportunity in there with the strength, almost like a SWOT analysis. Do you approach that side that says, hey, here's how you can benefit from it, mm-hmm. or is it all just stick?
And in this way, it's I almost see it as not as stick, but if it depends all on the phrasing. So if we talk about the impactful pieces to a security, to an organization, you can talk in terms of we're actually helping support your business by preventing a $5 billion market cap loss, et cetera, et cetera. So you talk in terms of supporting the business. Mm-hmm. Certainly the cybersecurity piece has opportunities which flow on from that. So then selling it internally to the business and saying, well, guys, we're actually not meant to be here to hit you with the stick and continuously kind of browbeat you with, you must do this, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's, for my mind, the complete opposite way we should be going about it. But putting in terms of, look, we're here to help you build your products. Here's a bunch of self-service checklists, for example, which I'll actually make sure that if you're building a product, you've built in all the controls that you need there. Have you implemented encryption at rest mm-hmm. and in transit? Have you gone through and implemented multi-factor authentication? Have you code scanned to understand if you've got vulnerable pieces of code or packages, those types of things? So giving people tools to self-help them, which funnily enough is actually aligning back to your original piece of how do we prevent a cybersecurity breach from happening. Yeah, it's definitely there's some benefits in there, but it depends on how you phrase it, depends on how you look. It's a mindset thing as well.
Yeah. Well, like I hear a lot of people, companies differentiating themselves with security. Mm-hmm. So we're going to increase our quality by promoting pieces in security that we can then show a quality above competitors. Which is an opportunity, a cybersecurity designed in type of opportunity. Any thoughts in kind of that side of things with what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly you see that a lot, especially I've seen that a lot in the financial services industries where they will go through, and funnily enough, people who place their hard-earned dollars into an organization are definitely keen to understand how that organization is going and in terms of defending, protecting their information, making sure they've actually got access to ATMs so they can get their money out, mm-hmm. those types of different things. So absolutely. I see it being more relevant in those sectors, especially, insurance, so the FSI space specifically. But there's absolutely opportunities to differentiate based on some cybersecurity, some factors there for sure.
Interesting. So if I said now, that's your approach, you're talking about interfacing and the difference in that gap of what happens from the technical report to the executive report. Now, give us an example of how you would approach implementing this and making this a success.
So the model that I came up with was something I've called the continuous cyber maturity model, which is a concept of operations, which actually lays out from start to finish the top level pieces, you know, interrogating or going through and asking the questions of the business, link it to threat models, link it to control. So the frameworks do come in, but then also then linking it back to the testing piece. So that model has served me well over a couple of programs that I've run in the past, and it's been a nice standardized way to actually approach the program. Obviously, there's some supporting infrastructure around. Once you've got findings, for example, you'd have to have backlogs for capturing these things and burning them down in a methodical way. But it does give you a nice, easy, measurable way to actually show maturity of an overall of an organization towards an outcome. So that model is something that served me well, which is actually going to be coming up in a couple of blog posts I've got to write up soon. So I've been doing that over a few years now, so it's time for me to actually put that out there.
Interesting. Maybe you'll have those up by the time we air this. So definitely we can send us a link so we can connect to with that link. Absolutely. to your current writings or whatever. So as far as then consulting, I guess, is your new direction. You actually provide these services now. So tell us about what it is that you're seeing as you do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Diving into the consulting space now, and I'll be kind of the first to admit this is my first delving into the consulting space after being a practitioner, but kind of the motivation there was actually taking a lot of these lessons learned and actually helping others. And so I've actually had a number of interesting meetings with clients over the last 3 or 4 months as I've dived into this role. And it's been validated that the pain that I've gone through is essentially the pain that we're seeing in a lot of the customers that we deal with. And so some of the consulting pieces are directly around implementing a program similar to this. Mm-hmm. But specifically the pieces for Shell, being an engineering company, we typically talk more around the technology and the data aspects of what we do, building the large data platforms, consolidating the data into useful, meaningful, consumable packages where you can actually reduce your time to detection or to reduce your time to response, those types of things. So the data transform, the analytics, and bringing all those tools.
When you're talking data here, you're talking data collected from like your SIMs, your information gathering about your security posture, your third generation firewalls. Absolutely. Things like that. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll give a good example of a couple of engagements we've done. We've walked into a security ops center and we've looked at a SIM, and we'll ask, what are the notable security events that this SIM fires for? What is this SIM actually being configured to fire and deliver alerts and those types of things to the analysts? And they should represent and be aligned to the risks of the organization. I want to alert on when there's a large quantity of intellectual property being exfiltrated, et cetera, et cetera. Oftentimes what we've found is if you have a look, and I'll use an arbitrary figure, we've said we've got 150 notable security events. Like, okay. But then when you look at the data that underpins that, so whether that's a single log comes in, fires one alert, or multiple logs come in, correlate and give you an alert, or there's a deviation from a baseline, et cetera, et cetera. When we looked at the data that would actually allow those to actually fire, in this one particular example, 2/3 of those alerts could never fire. Mm-hmm. So what we're finding is that the underlying data that actually fed your SIM, so the data quality, the continuity and the reliability of that data was incredibly important for driving the actual risk buy down of identifying a risky cyber incidents. And so for our mind, that's a really untapped, it's neglected space where we're looking to address that. How do we actually look at the cybersecurity tools we've got, be it firewalls, EDR, DLP, whatever it happens to be, making sure that those things are configured correctly and the data is reliably flowing into your SIM and actually giving you meaningful alerts into your analysts instead of just being arbitrary, you found malware. There's got to be more context. There's got to be more linkage.
Interesting. Do you offer products of your own or is it just a consulting and support services?
For us, it's all about the consulting pieces, so the services pieces. So we don't have organically our own products. Mm-hmm. Typically, we partner with a number of industry vendors out there. So the ones that we think are kind of doing the best work out there, we're always keen to partner with ones that are doing great work and innovating in the industry. But our goal is more to act as that trusted advisor, partner with the customers for the outcomes. Yeah, we don't really care what tools you need to get there. Oftentimes, we'll find our consulting is more going in and helping people get more out of the tools that they have rather than promoting a new tool itself.
Awesome. So tell us how we get a hold of you, what types of customers you're looking for.
So most of the customers we have at the moment are all kind of top tier space. So for us here in Australia, your top four or five banks, your defense intelligence, those types of things. So we typically find most of our businesses derived out of those spaces. But look, anyone that's in needing of some assistance, bringing some of their tool sets together, even just some advice on where should they go next. Something as simple as that with their program, just they want to be use myself or others as a sounding board, where should I go? You can always get a hold of me, so either through LinkedIn or email. If you're in Australia, text me, that type of thing.
What's your website?
So it's sheld.com, sheld.com. And myself, my email is ascully@sheld.com.
All right. And you heard it here at New Cyber Frontier. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Chris.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.